Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much. Joining me, thanks for hanging around with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Karen Couric is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Karen is the partner and managing director of RSM McGladrey, which is a consulting firm. I'm pretty sure they're out of the Chicagoland area, and she is a compatriot with Tom Murphy, who's been with us before. And last time, when Tom was here before, he brought us some research, and Karen is doing the same thing. She has some research, only it's different kind of research. This is on women business ownership, and she's here to talk to us about the state of women's business ownership in their 2007 survey. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm glad to be here this morning, bright and early.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Tell us what made you guys want to conduct this survey in the first place.
Well, as you probably know, the women-owned business sector of the economy is one of the fastest-growing sectors of privately held businesses. And RSM McGladrey focuses a lot on middle-market, high-growth businesses. So this was one sector that over the past several years we wanted to focus on to gain a better understanding of what some of the business issues are, what the outlook are for women entrepreneurs. And in the past, we had done this more on a regional basis, and in the current year, we expanded it to include a national sample of women-owned businesses. And we had about 650 respondents in 35 states to give us some feedback on what some of their key business issues are.
And what did they? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and we also this survey was co-sponsored by the University of Chicago, their Entrepreneurial Center for Business, the Polsky Center for Business, and the Chicago chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. And
right, NABO.
NABO, right. So we also partnered with some key people that focus on women entrepreneurs to help collect the data and help get a good sample of respondents.
What did you learn about women that you didn't know in this survey about women business ownership?
Well, I think one of the key findings that came out on the survey, we asked a lot of questions across a lot of different issues, but one of the key findings was a lot of times there are people feel that women entrepreneurs have to kind of make a choice between either they're going to run a business or have a family. And what we found is that, in general, women don't have to give up marriage and children in order to be women entrepreneurs. In fact, the survey found that 68% of the women responding were married who were women entrepreneurs, which is higher than the national average. I think the national average is about 53%. And also, of the women that we surveyed, 67% of them had children. So I think it debunks the myth that if you want to be a successful woman entrepreneur, you have to choose between, being married and having a family and having a successful career. So that was one of the top line findings.
Well, I know a lot of women business owners. I mean, lots, and those numbers I would probably have said higher than 68% or 67, whatever the number was. I would have said higher than that because. I guess 67.6%, I think I see here. I would have thought it would have been more like, closer to 8 out of 10, because most of the women that I know who are women business owners, who are business owners, I should say, are at least married, and many of them have children. One of the things I've seen is a lot of women have started business about the time that they became empty nesters.
Mm-hmm.
They went through that cycle in their life where they had children and they raised them, and about the time things started slowing down around the house, they actually quit their job or whatever they had been doing, and they started their own business. And there's a lot of successful women business owners out there who fit that category.
Right. You know, Jim, I think you're totally on point with that. The other thing that we're starting to see, though, today is that there are women that are starting businesses at a younger age. I think in the last several years, what's happening is that we also asked the women who answered the survey what their level of education was. And 40% of them that we surveyed had postgraduate education, where I think the national statistics are about 25% of all women professionals have postgraduate degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that of the women that we surveyed, now this is if they had revenues of more than $6 million or more, almost 40% were between the ages of 20 and 29 when they started their businesses. So what we're seeing is a tendency for women to start businesses at a younger age.
Did you ask or find out why?
Well, I think a couple. One is, and we asked, when we talked with these women entrepreneurs, a lot of them said we wish we would have started our businesses earlier at a younger age
At 14? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm talking about women that are in their 30s.
Yeah.
But I think a contributing factor to that is part of it is, well, a couple things. One, I think it's the education. A lot of the MBA programs today have entrepreneurial programs. The University of Chicago has the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship, where you can actually focus on majoring, getting a degree in entrepreneurship. They take you through putting together a business plan, how to get financing. I think that, you know, there's more exposure to that.
Many of them actually help the graduate students intern at small businesses rather than at big businesses.
Exactly. And actually, in some of the schools, they have competitions where some of their business plans actually get funded.
Right.
So it's, you know, so they can actually start to get launched in the business. I think the other...
I don't want us to leave the impression, though, that most women-owned businesses come from graduate programs, because they don't.
That's exactly true. I was just saying more from, like, what's the tendency and why are women starting younger? I think they're exposed more to it. But
I hear you, and I knew you didn't mean that. I just didn't want to make – I want to make sure people didn't think that. A couple of reasons I think, Karen, and see if this tracks with what you've found. No, I think two things are a big part of this. Number one, technology has made it easier for all people for men and women to start businesses. And number two, I think this is unique to women. They have more access to capital now as a woman, as a single woman, at a younger age than ever before. And we're going to get Karen to respond to that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Karen Couric is our guest. She's with RMS McLadry. RSM McLadry, I'm sure. Sorry. She and I will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show, all the different ways that we have it available for you, including podcasting. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. Our newsletter, by the way, comes by email every week. And we're now about to celebrate our 8th anniversary of the newsletter. And then, of course, the articles. You got thousands of articles there written by me and my Brain Trust members. Speaking of Brain Trust, they're there too. Over 600 of those folks. And of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. Check that out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry on any of our sites. If you can get there, we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and use all of the things we have to your advantage. Karen Couric is our guest. Karen, am I saying your last name correctly?
Couric.
Couric, okay. Couric, K-U-R-E-K, Karen with a K also. And Karen Couric, and she is a partner and managing director of RSM McLadry. We're talking about a survey they conducted recently with women business ownership. And Karen, give us about a 30-second commercial on RSM McLadry.
Well, RSM McLadry provides mid-market companies with a broad range of financial services, including accounting, business, and tax consulting. And we focus on companies that are in the growth stage and provide services to help them achieve their business goals. And we work across a lot of industries and also focus on women-owned businesses as one of the areas that we focus on.
And give us that website, please.
It's www.rsmmcgladrey.com.
All right, and that's just like it sounds, folks. RSM McGladrey, M-C-G, Gladrey. Karen, when we went to the break, I was just asking you about the impact that technology has had in the growth of women in business ownership, as well as access to capital. You guys studied that too, didn't you?
We did. You know, Jim, one of the questions that we asked in the survey was a series of questions around access to capital. And what's a couple of the things that came out were over 40% of the women surveyed said that they've had no problem at all receiving financing by going into a bank and you know, putting together a business plan, et cetera. I think that things have changed a lot in the last 10 years or so in giving women access to capital when they're going into particularly a bank to try to get financing.
You know, Karen, I've interviewed a number of ladies who became business owners in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, including Lillian Vernon, among others. And these are ladies who, you know, will be the first to say they've been around the block a couple of times and in the marketplace. And to hear their stories about what they had to deal with, about being told when they go to the bank, about being told, honey, why don't you go on home and bring your husband back with his financial statement? You know, when you hear stories like that,
right.
and you know about the research that you have now that you guys conducted on how women can get the kind of funding, you know, and I know the women today, if they don't already, they should recognize that they're standing on the shoulder of those women that I was just talking about.
Exactly. There are, Jim, so many stories on that, but obviously things have changed for the better.
I think two things have happened. Women have changed in their self-confidence level, and banks obviously have changed.
Right, exactly. And the interesting thing, though, is while women today can go to a bank, you know, they have a business plan, they can get access to funding, the other really interesting statistic that came up from the survey was that there were probably almost 40% of the respondents that said that they had never gone to a bank to get financing. Mm-hmm. A lot of these women started up by, you know, using credit cards,
right.
Some putting their homes up as personal collateral, and then from there, you know, the business started to generate cash and they became successful. What's interesting is, you know, in talking with a lot of women entrepreneurs, what I found is that they tend to look at the cash flows from their business as a way to finance their business going forward.
Right.
And some of the counsel that I give to them is to make sure that they understand, you know, what their assets are. They have the ability to leverage that. And while it's a good discipline to focus on cash flow, you also need to look at what you can leverage on your balance sheet if you really want to accelerate the growth of your business.
Growing your business from cash flow and retained earnings, as you say, is a very good disciplined way to do it, but it's also a very slow way to grow your business. It's holding back the growth opportunity when you do that.
Exactly. So that's some of the counsel that we have.
And technology. We've got about a minute. Tell us about how technology impacted these ladies.
Well, again, you know, technology proliferates everything. So given the fact that technology gives people more flexibility to do business anywhere, anytime, that has opened up the doors for women to succeed and to be able to put together a business plan and get access to customers.
I think one of the things, Karen, how it's helped women is it's helped them to be able to be to have the family, to have the children, to raise the children, to continue to be the caregivers as they do, and still run a business. The technology has given them that mobility and that efficiency.
Exactly. And it's interesting, you know, we asked women the reason why they go into business, and the number one reason was not to make a lot of money. I mean, women in general, I mean, they want to make money, but that's
right.
Not their main motivation. It's a lot of them have an idea that they want to have succeed. They really and truly believe in that. And secondly, they need more flexibility. And
Karen,
technology has given them that.
We've run out of time. Where can we see this report?
You can go to our website, RSMMcGladrey. www.com, and there's a copy of it right there.
Check it out when you get a chance. Karen Keurig. Karen, thanks for being here. Say hi to Tom for us.
I will, Jim. Thanks so much.
You guys come on back whenever you got some more good information for us. Quick break. Right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.